This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The future looked bright in 2009 when Rio won the Olympic Games. Brazil was booming and fast becoming an economic contender on the world stage. Then came the global economic meltdown and drop in oil prices that sent the country's fortunes spiraling downward. Still, Rio overcame news of a polluted bay, the Zika virus, rising crime, and a national political crisis to dazzle the world during the Summer Games. And now comes the hangover. Billions of dollars spent in infrastructure on a city that is now broke. Vice Sports staff writer Aaron Gordon traveled to Rio to find out how it's faring after the 2016 Summer Games. Aaron, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so let's look at some of the big picture indicators. How is Brazil's economy doing?
It is not doing well. It's been doing about as badly as you could have reasonably thought even 5 years ago. Their GDP is negative. Their unemployment is skyrocketing. In almost every way, they're outperforming even the most pessimistic predictions of how it could be doing.
Well, as we know, during the Olympics, there was a political crisis going on. Now, a series of corruption scandals has toppled then-President Dilma Rousseff's government. How is that affecting the entire fiscal picture for the country?
So in a lot of ways, the impeachment of the last president was part and parcel with the fiscal issues going on in the country right now. During the boom times, the government incorporated a lot of welfare programs and a lot of very progressive fiscal programs, which the country loved. But now that the money has dried up, people are holding the government accountable for what they perceive as getting them into that situation. And so the new government that's come in has imposed extremely draconian austerity measures. They actually passed a constitutional amendment that basically imposes austerity measures for the next 20 years. And the UN themselves said they condemned these regulations as being unprecedented in democracy, or really in any kind of government. So the impeachment of the previous presidency was just as much about, you know, kind of like blaming the government that got them into this fiscal position as anything else.
And there have also been corruption charges against Rio's outgoing mayor. This is Eduardo Paes, and the governor of Rio de Janeiro State. These are more closely connected to the game. So what is that connection?
Yeah, so there's to give the brief overview of the massive corruption scandal going on in Brazil right now, it's called Car Wash or Lava Jato. And basically, it uncovers this massive, massive corruption scheme that implicates Petrobras, the massive oil company that's state-run, and Odebrecht, the massive construction firm that handled a lot of Olympic projects. And basically, there were just bribes being given out all around. We're talking billions of dollars worth of bribes. And some of those were for projects, including the Olympics. And the outgoing Rio mayor is implicated in the scandal. So is the state of Rio governor. And of course, the president of the country, Dilma Rousseff, has already been impeached. So it's kind of ensnared the entire country, and the Olympics has been no exception.
Well, and the Olympics, this developer you mentioned, they were given massive tax incentives. So, you know, that leaves the city, Rio, which was broke even before the game, even more in the hole. How much does the city owe now?
So right now, the city and state owe somewhere between $31 billion, which, you know, isn't exclusively Olympic debt, of course. It includes debt, you know, just from the falling oil prices that they didn't account for. But some of it is Olympic debt as well. And they had to get a massive injection from the federal government before the games just to even be able to put them on.
So how is this political and economic crisis affecting this ability to pay back this debt?
I mean, nobody really knows how to pay it back is the big question. And that kind of, you know, plays into the draconian austerity measures that were put in place, which, you know, won't solve the problem. Some economists think it will even make it worse. But it's a big question of, you know, where does the country go from here? Nobody really knows, because the austerity measures are resulting in public employees, in retirees, which make up a huge percentage of the population. Now they're going to lose a significant chunk of their income. So it's just going to be a negative feedback cycle.
Well, all of this, of course, exacerbated a lot of social unrest before the games. Critics then were complaining that the investments being made favored the wealthier areas of town, of Rio, while ignoring those dwelling in these rickety slums, often without sanitation. Now, you spoke to several people from Rio. We call them cariocas. What did they have to say?
It was nobody's surprise that, you know, when you surveyed what the projects were and who they were helping, that it was helping the wealthy. There's a very long history of that in Rio, of the wealthy getting favorable treatment and the poor and working class kind of being pushed out. But there was some hope, even for the Olympics, that some of the, especially infrastructure projects, would help people in working class areas, especially some bus lines and a light rail project. People were optimistic about them. But the bus line that was supposed to be the most advantageous for people in the North Zone has not gotten built, and it's probably never going to get built. And the light rail project, too, is only about one out of six lines were built, and it's just the line that connects the airport, the domestic airport, to the bus station. And a lot of the other lines, they dug up the streets for them, but they didn't actually put in the projects, so the streets are now unusable. They fester mosquitoes during the rainy season. And they make people's lives significantly worse. So that's kind of like, in a nutshell, the legacy of a lot of these infrastructure projects.
We're speaking with Aaron Gordon. He's a staff writer for Vice Sports, and he went to Rio to find out how the city is doing after the 2016 Games. So the Games did bring big money for infrastructure projects. You mentioned a subway line, rapid bus line, tunnels, light rail, cleaning up the bay, Guanabara Bay. These are the kind of projects that city planners dream of and can take decades. Aren't they ultimately, even if imperfect, a boon to the city?
Yeah, I would put it somewhere between, you know, a total disaster and a boon. You know, some of the infrastructure projects, like the subway line, it connects the wealthy part of the city where the Olympics were held, Barra da Tijuca, with the rest of the system, essentially. And that's good for people who live in that area of the city, but it's also not one of the most needed projects, especially considering that the city as a whole has so many fundamental problems. I mean, it can take people from the working class North Zone upwards of 3 hours and several bus transfers just to get to the city center. It's a common route, and there's really nothing to serve them on those routes. And so there was very much a sense of, you know, some of these infrastructure projects are all well and good, but they don't really address the underlying problems. So it was a huge missed opportunity, really.
Well, there has, of course, been a global recession. You mentioned plummeting oil prices. Really, the economy is tagged to oil prices in Brazil. Could we argue, Aaron, that the crisis was on the way with or without the Olympics?
Absolutely. And that's something that I heard over and over when I was there, especially from experts who you know, really study the issue, that regardless of whether they were hosting the Olympics or even the World Cup 2 years before, there was going to be an economic crisis. And there already were signs of one developing. What the Olympics essentially did was give that crisis a potent symbol for people to really see. The empty stadiums, even now, just a few months after the games, they're empty and not being used, and the future plans are not coming to fruition with the stadiums, and they're essentially abandoned. And it's a very, very potent symbol for what Brazil hoped it would be now versus what they actually are.
Well, what Brazil wanted to be was look prestigious in the eyes of the world. France was vying for the Olympics. Boston was vying for the Olympics and warning that maybe Brazil is a developing country punching above its weight. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this all kind of goes back to what the International Olympic Committee demands from host cities. And the IOC does want the games to be global. When they gave the games to Rio, they made a big deal about how it was the first time they were given to a South American country. And that's all well and good. And I think inclusiveness, especially in something like the Olympics, is important. But I think it's also necessary to recognize practicalities. The IOC demands so much from cities in terms of their investment, their spending, their infrastructure, their development, the snazziness of the events. It's a billion upon billion dollar venture. And there are only a handful of cities in the world that can take that investment, that can make it, and especially, as we've seen in Rio, that can do it even if the economy isn't as strong as they think it is. You know, the IOC makes cities bid so far in advance that you don't know what a city's you know, infrastructure, political situation, economy is going to look like by the time they actually host the games. And if you want to be inclusive, that's fine. But the IOC then needs to come up with some kind of plan to be not be as much of a drag on cities' resources.
Aaron Gordon of Vice Sports, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
There's a link to read Aaron's article, A Legacy of Crisis, Rio After the Olympics. And that is at wordofmouthradio.org.